meeting is being held in compliance with the open public meeting law, and that the requirements will all happen, that the posting of the meeting notes on the municipal bulletin board, filed with the borough clerk, and for the securities, and so that it does not like that, go out for it. I find the lead. Hey, roll call.
Here.
Here.
Councilman Gomez.
Here.
Councilman Teddy Byerson, the absent. Councilman Frank Kelly.
Here.
Councilman Longo.
Here.
Councilman Richmond.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Okay, next is approval of the minutes of the July 11th, 2023 regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Go second.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Councilman Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Frank Kelly.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilman Richmond.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Recuse.
Okay, next is the 2023 special permit district. Budget presentation by Natalie Mayor of Downtown Management Consultant. And then the 2023 special permit district budget public hearing and comments. So.
Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Yep. I get over to it. Were you there? Did you have it when you did?
Yeah. All right. I don't want to.
All
right. We good? All right. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here this evening to present the Bound Brook Revitalization Partnership budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year. As the mayor mentioned, my name is Natalie Pinero, and I am the BBRP's downtown managing consultant. I want to start off on a positive note. I want to start out by commending Bound Brook for recognizing the importance of supporting local economic vitality and growth through the Special Improvement District designation. Statistics from the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Authority show that during the pandemic, bid and SID districts fared much better than others because of their ability to usher resources directly to affected businesses, create innovative programs to support local, and connect businesses with state, local, and federal programs. Now, post-pandemic, many communities are scrambling to get public support for the formation of improvement districts in order to take proactive measures and put a foundation in place that will allow for the same activity and dedicated funding that saved so many business districts just a short time ago. In addition, BIDs and SIDs are once again playing a pivotal role in the renaissance of urban and suburban centers by cleaning up their cities, recruiting retailers to rent spaces in many abandoned storefronts, and promoting districts to investors, empty nesters, singletons, tourists, and the like, especially in the wake of the economic uncertainty that's been the topic of discussion over the past year. Downtown Bound Brook has the opportunity this year, with its increased assessment revenue, to truly make a difference and reinvigorate itself into a highly functioning organization that implements thoughtful and impactful initiatives that will grow the Bound Brook Revitalization Partnership into a destination for shopping, dining, and tourism. So let's start off with some goals that we would like to accomplish with this year's budget. Sorry, it's a little, I feel like I have so many people behind me. So first and foremost, we want to revitalize our day-to-day operations by making internal changes that will support the positive change we want to see in our district. Our goal is to hire a bilingual, qualified staff that are invested in the community and become the point person for business advocacy and support. Along these same lines, we're going to be looking at training and strategic planning to ensure our Board of Trustees is operating at the highest level to support staff and help set priorities for the district. Second, we want to create a five-year plan for the district, which will include strategic priorities and set up the organization to become an accredited Main Street program through Main Street America and the Main Street New Jersey program. Next, we want to invest in infrastructure and beautification as to minimize the visibility of vacancies, make the district more walkable, and set the stage to attract new businesses. Fourth, we would like to invest in our business recruitment and retention strategies by using data to better understand the needs of our business and property owners and to set them up for long-term success and create and leverage existing training programs to make sure that our businesses are flexible and resilient. Finally, we want to invest in campaigns to support the perception of the district as a destination, not just a pit stop, through advertising, marketing, placemaking strategies, and increased events. So let's get into it. So on the screen, we have our budget breakdown, and we have the percentage of the budget that each of these areas take up. You guys should have a spreadsheet of the budget, and you guys can follow along with what the budget breakdown is. So we're looking at a total budget of $297,542.72. And this includes FIT assessment revenue of approximately $243,542.72, about $10,000 in donation, about $10,000 in fundraising, $14,000 in possible grants, and a carryover from our operating account of approximately $20,000. Now, all of these numbers obviously are subject to change. We know that our assessment revenue, right, comes in as our assessment gets collected. Donations are subject to change. I know that we currently already exceeded this by the $22,000 that came in from the Billion Foundation this year. So if you look at the pie chart, and I know it's a little hard to see, but we start off with debt service, which we have none, which is wonderful. A lot of districts carry over debt, whether it be from the state, whether it be from the municipality as a shared service for parking agreements. So we really start off in a good place with a 0% debt service. The highest percentage of the budget is going to be management, and it's going to be our infrastructure and streetscape support and service, taking up 30% and 25% of the budget, respectively. And we'll break these down a little bit further in the next slides. Then we're looking at economic vitality and office support, taking up 16% and 15%, respectively. Events and event advertising at 30%. Marketing and communication at 6%. And contingency funds at 1%. So we'll skip the debt service since we are debt-free. So the first section that we're really looking at is infrastructure and streetscape. In addition to the regular services for sweeping and cleaning, landscaping, flower pots, and things of that nature, we're looking at a total spend of approximately $73,000. Within this budget, we're working on several initiatives. First and foremost, we want to work with a planner to create a streetscape plan for the district that'll help to move the needle of the district from transit-oriented to a more pedestrian-oriented and create a blueprint for continuity where it pertains to sidewalks, lighting, amenities, and open space. We also want to invest in a new banner system that will not only beautify the district but allow for better promotions of events, important holidays, and days of remembrance. We would also like to work with our local arts committee on creative placemaking initiatives that will utilize the arts as a tool for economic vitality and investment. And then finally, we want to create and execute a strategic, clean, and safe program that will allow us to keep the district cleaner and more walkable. So decades of economic evolution are leading us to realize that experiences that are personal and memorable can help us acquire and retain customers, as well as recruit and retain top talent, and in our arena, top quality businesses. This year, we want to look at how we can create unique and memorable experiences through adding and streamlining events that will encourage patrons to walk and enjoy the district. With the additional funds that we've received from the Billion Foundation, we will be enhancing some of our movies for the rest of the summer as well as the fall. We're also looking at creating Small Business Saturday promotions, looking at promoting a restaurant week, looking at creating a Rhythm on the Rails music series, and an Art Through the Windows walking tour, just to name a few. So the most important part of increasing foot traffic downtown really comes from spreading the word about the unique, one-of-a-kind experiences that we just mentioned. More importantly, the type of communication that's most valuable to us is grassroots word-of-mouth communication. So this year, we would like to focus on those areas that we know are going to yield us a greater return on investment and generate those authentic connections, in turn, driving people into the district. Part of creating those connections is investing in mediums that, I'm going to drop a buzzword here, are trending. As such, we'll be working to create stakeholder and audience profiles, gather data about media consumption habits, and put together a marketing plan which will serve as a blueprint to maximize our spend and impact through mediums like social media, email marketing, print and digital advertising, enhancements to our website, and media relations. Economic vitality works with the existing economic base to facilitate and promote collaboration, advocacy, and assistance for our business community. This is where we carve out a budget for things like outreach, data collection, grant programs, contesting, and direct business support. With the dollars in this area, we hope to immediately roll out a facade improvement grant program where we'll provide matching grants for store improvements to a limited number of businesses. So next we talk about management, because strength, growth, and resiliency of an organization are directly correlated to the quality of leadership. This is the area where you'll notice general staff requirements, such as salaries, professional insurances, health insurance. So if first we have management, then we have our office support. This includes things like our rent, our dues and subscriptions, our accounting fees, office supplies, professional development, and so on. So that really brings us to the end of our budget breakdown. I'd like to point out that this budget was put together thoughtfully with the input of our executive committee and approval of our general board. It's rooted in best practices from Main Street and Downtown New Jersey programs, and we're extremely excited to get to work and know that with these enhancements and the programs and services that are outlined in the budget, we can function at our highest capacity and support and revitalize our downtown district. So I'd now like to open up for questions.
I just want to make a couple of comments.
Sure.
And I just want, first of all, because of, we have somebody with asthma and somebody who can't vote, we need everybody to support this for the state's time. And I also want to mention, I just want everybody to know that. I'm trying to, can you hear me now? The system working? Is because a lot of the new buildings are online now, and the revenue is coming in much earlier. So although we're not taxing the businesses more, our revenues are a lot higher. Now, to this point, really, because the revenues were small, the only thing we really could do is try to make the streets better. And I think we have. If those remember years and years ago, because public works has always been strapped. It's very difficult to keep the street clean. It's not perfect, but it's much, much better. So those are the points I want to draw. It's really this budget is mainly on the backs of the new buildings, not the small guys. And it's exciting. I'm not a city member anymore, but it's exciting. I think that finally we can do all these other initiatives that we were never able to do because we never had a budget. And that's
my comments.
thank you for the presentation. But how long have you been the managing consultant?
So I started, I believe, with the district in March, and part of what I was brought on to do was reestablish the office. As I'm sure everybody can recognize, right?
That in the past year or so, we've been operating at our highest efficiency or capacity. And so part of what we need to do is reinvigorate the BBRP from the inside out, right? Starting with staff, starting with board members, making sure that everybody understands what their roles and responsibilities are and what our commitment is to the business owners and property owners of the district.
And you were hired by whom?
I was hired by the Boundbrook Revitalization Partnership.
By the board?
Yes.
The board.
That's correct.
Okay. And so if the SID does not have an approved budget now, where are the funds coming from that are paying you? I don't know if that's a Hector question or a you question. Or
so that would likely be a treasurer question.
SID question. No, not yet.
And I could probably answer that. It's coming from just the money that we've had from the past year that's still in the budget.
So the carryover, the $20,000?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's how, okay, you're being paid. And what other positions do you hold?
So I'm a consultant. I have a private company called In Creative Strategies. I service various clients of different sizes, nonprofits, municipalities, downtown districts. I'm not at liberty to disclose who those are. But that is my background.
And are you involved in the SID in Somerville?
I am involved in the SID in Somerville, yes.
You're an executive director there, or what is your position with the
SID? I am not. I'm a consultant.
You're a consultant with
the SID? That's correct.
Okay. So do you work with then, like, the Economic Development Committee of Somerville or the developers, right, the redevelopment that's happening?
So I have a range of responsibilities, but yes, I do work with the economic development professionals. I do communicate regularly with developers and property owners and business owners as well.
So do you feel that transparency in negotiations with developers is important?
So my job isn't necessarily to negotiate with developers. So from a downtown development perspective, right, we work with the developers to ensure that they are made abreast of what's going on in the district. We try and involve them in whatever way we can to support the district because it is their assessment dollars that are going into the SID.
Okay. So you're working with the CID in Somerville. Councilman Gomez recently took a position with the CID in Plainfield. And I have a question of conflict of interest between working on the various CIDs and working in the capacity with developers as well. When you're in a negotiation position and there's a lack of transparency, because as our EDC operates with no committee minutes or any of that. So I'm just wondering if there's any sort of conflict of interest when you're potentially working with a CID in Plainfield, right? And you may have a situation where you would grant a developer something in Bound Brook because you know about what's going on in Bound Brook, and there's...
That's a question for the councilman, Gomez.
Yeah, and she's talking, and she doesn't have any clue what she's talking. These are all hypotheticals for her. And here's my challenge. If she knows something, perfect opportunity to say something. I can guarantee you something, that there's not a developer in Bound Brook, which has nothing to do with the city, there or here. That is also over there. So... I often know that you're confused about what you're talking about, especially conflicts of interest. In this case, completely confused. I have a job over there, and my job here is what? On the CID and economic development? What does that have to do with that? Maybe you can explain it.
Wondering if there's a conflict of interest in you granting a developer...
And having a job?
And having, yeah, because no. Of your involvement with the development.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. It's nice to see the goals and objectives. I guess the question and observation is, why isn't this happened sooner? The CID was disbanded in 1997 and reinstated in 2014. I went back to minutes of 2014, and the same arguments or concerns about the CID were made then about the cleanliness of the town, about taxing businesses and imposing higher rents on the businesses, the lack of support from the CID. The lack of revitalization, right? Reinvestments, improvements. So I just wonder why, if this wasn't challenged at a previous meeting, this would have been rubber stamped and it would have been approved and we would have not had even an introduction to you, Natalie, right? Which thank you for coming here this evening.
It's my pleasure.
So I guess my questions, why is it taking so long? I mean, and I guess in terms of the business outreach, how many businesses, I know we're going to vote later on board members, right? And I see some family connections in those board members as well. But how many businesses were asked downtown? But you have potentially, 90% maybe Hispanic businesses, and I see Maricela, right, is a business owner, and Rafael is not a business owner now, but a property owner, soon to be a business owner. But in terms of the Hispanic representation, just seems low. And I'm just wondering, how many businesses did you go to that ask?
So first and foremost, I really can't answer as to why it's taken this long to get here. I formerly lived in Piscataway, right, and I came through Bound Brook quite frequently. I dined downtown. I enjoyed dining here and spending time here with my family. But the only thing that I can say is that we have a real opportunity to move the needle currently. I think that there are an abundance of resources that are available, especially post-pandemic, that are going to help us transform the district. And I think as far as business owners, I think that we have several business owners that are on the board that contributed to the budget, that commented on the budget. And we are actually making an effort to do some more outreach. So we're going to be doing quarterly public meetings that will enable not just business owners and properties to tune, property owners to tune into the meetings, but members of the public as well. And so I think that, I'm not in the business of talking about the past. I'm in the business of talking about the present and the future. And I think that we have an amazing opportunity to do wonderful things that will benefit the entire district.
Mm-hmm. And I know you touched upon the money from Billion Trust,
yes,
right, for the movie. So we haven't had any movies. There's no farmers market. And that is the present, right? I mean, we,
sure,
you know, there's a car show that pretty much runs itself. The website hasn't been updated since January. I really would like to believe that there's going to be a change now. And Councilman Prancitelli mentioned that the town is much cleaner. I don't see it, right? We had a meeting back on June 29th with Code and Department of Public Works and with SID representative, Councilman Longo, and discussed coming up with a plan to clean the downtown. At no point was it stated that it was the DPW's job, but we were charged with the task of doing a deep cleaning. So, you know, these conversations, and like I said, going back to 2014, almost 10 years ago, it's the same thing over and over again on how to clean a town, right? How to clean the downtown. You're looking at three blocks at the most, and I just have to shake my head at how could we throw $300,000 at this, right? $62,000 of which was used for landscaping, and we couldn't even get enough pansies for the Battle of Bound Brook. And my husband and I were out there planting in the Pocket Park and on the West End because the pots were left empty. Like, it's that culture and mentality that needs to change, right? So where was the $62,000? And as I look at the budget, I don't see any supporting documentation at all that tells me how that was spent, where it was spent. You're projecting $10,500,000 for professional development. Where, right? I don't know. Is that a conference in the Bahamas? I mean, not to be sarcastic, but, you know, this budget, I've done budgets before, right? I understand budgets. This is not a detailed budget, right? This is not, it doesn't tell any of us really how the money was spent, what was done, and what is projected to really be done.
So first and foremost, I'd just like to say that there's not much we can do without an approved budget. We can't hire somebody and put them on payroll without an approved budget. We can't hire contractors. I'm waiting on an approved budget so that we can start our movies. We have a contractor that's lined up to do the movies. We have licensing rights that are on hold because we don't have an approved budget. There are services that cannot be done downtown, and we can't even begin to scratch the surface without an approved budget. I think that we are seeing a significant increase in assessment revenue, but that's not because we've increased taxes, right? That's because additional developments have come online, and that's going to enable us to do more. Again, I can't speak to the past. I can't speak to what happened prior to March when I first came and met with the board. But I can speak to my track record of service in other communities. I can speak to what we've managed to get off the ground. You mentioned Somerville. And I'm excited to put the boots on the ground and, you know, sit with all of our stakeholders and discuss what needs to be done. If we're talking about increased service for cleanliness, there are options there, right? We, instead of working with DPW, we can reallocate funds from the budget, and we can hire a cleaning service to come out and clean. You know, but those are things that we need to sit down and have those hard conversations, because we're not going to be able to fund everything. Right? And so if that's a priority for the stakeholders in this room, then that's something that we can certainly look at.
What is the SIDS fiscal year? What are the dates of year?
So I believe it is our fiscal year starts in June, so it's June to May.
Yeah, I just want to mention a few things that you can't mention because you weren't with us. Again, to just repeat, it was hard to get money to do some of the things because the budget was small. As far as why we're not doing a lot of the things that we normally would have done this part of the year is because this is the first time I think the board feels like we may not get approval to move on. So we don't want to start hiring people and spending money,
sure,
knowing that it's just going to all come crashing down.
Absolutely.
And the last thing is, and Linda, you do a lot for the town, and I appreciate everything you do for the town, but when you ask for money for pansies, it was there. The money for the pansies, Linda, was there. I said, Linda, I appreciate everything you do. You do a lot for this town. When you ask money for pansies, remember I said, yes, I can get you and your husband money for the pansies.
Yeah, we got six flats of pansies delivered to our house, which, thank you for the pansies, but why does it come down to, I mean, not why does it come down to a resident, why isn't it something that is done, right? I mean, if part of the responsibility and the obligation of the SID is to prepare for events, and this was an event, right, Battle of Elm Brook, why wasn't the town prepared? I don't, you know,
there
I mean...
No, there was no downtown there. I
think at the time...
And the person that was in charge wouldn't plant pansies or wouldn't buy pansies.
All right.
So what? Well, they didn't show up in downtown for almost a year, which is reasonable.
Yeah, and that was a very expensive, difficult process.
So one question, maybe I didn't ask this. So what was the $62,000 for landscape support and services? What was the $62,000 spent on? And then this year you're projecting $73,000 for landscaping.
So I can't answer your question about what it was spent on in the past because I was not here. That's a question for our treasurer, which I'm sure she'd be happy to answer. What we're projecting we're spending on this year is additional cleaning, landscaping, plantings. We're going to be investing in additional downtown flag banner brackets and new banners for the district. We're working on doing a branding initiative for our trash cans downtown. And so it all enhances the beautification of the district. We're also talking about doing a streetscape plan, which is a capital plan, an infrastructure plan, that will help us streamline what's happening downtown. And it'll be a plan that we can hand over to the developers, that we can work together to make sure that everything is uniform and has continuity in the district.
If I could just ask something, Linda, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I really do. But this is the first time we've had anyone from the SID present to us. I've been a councilman for almost a year and a half. So I think the trend has certainly changed. And what they've done in the past, we can't stand for as a council. But I think the presentation that Natalie's giving and a little bit more funding, we can hold them to the fire to do
sure
what we want them now. And moving forward, I can't say what 2014, but I'm sure people weren't happy with what was going on, or maybe they were happy, I don't know. But I think after this presentation, and we kind of understand the SID now, but we should at least give them the opportunity moving forward to do what Natalie's balance she's going to do. Having somewhat of a background in finance as a CPA, it seems to me that this budget was backed into based on tax rates and variables as opposed to this is what we would like to spend. I mean, when we would present a budget, when I was on the Recreation Commission, I would invite people to present and say, we're going to add 5 new sports. And they're going to say, what sports? How many people? How much equipment? We don't know until you give us the money. And then we'll figure out what sports we're going to add. I mean, if there was detail, I mean, there's increases in cost. You did landscaping of what, 48 to 62. That makes total sense. Cost of labor, cost of material, ready to go. But a nebulous $31,500 for consulting and saying, we don't know what we're going to spend that on until you guys tell me to spend it. That doesn't seem to me to be the way to present a budget, to say this is what we need, so this is what needs to be charged. This is the tax rate, these are the variables, this is what we can collect, let's come up with a way to spend it. So if there was a plan with details and said, hey, we wanted to do these following three things last year, but we only had $24,000 to do it, and we could do three events, so we could do one. If we have the budget, we can do three events like that, and that's going to be great. And, you know, I have absolutely no problem with promoting the area. I think there's a ton of opportunity down there. I think there's a lot of wonderful businesses down there already that I make every effort to patronize. It just seems to me, though, that the process and the timing doesn't seem to make sense. So, and again, I'm looking at this from a logical, not emotional, it's like, okay, numbers. I'm just about the numbers. What was spent? What are you going to spend this on? Other than that, listen, again, they're right. The vast majority of this budget is being funded by these new developments, these new buildings. Those are the highest ratables. I mean, they're going to pay for the vast majority. I just would like to know in some better detail. Okay, so we can't hire anybody. Well, who are you thinking of hiring? Who do you think is necessary? What's an estimate of their salary? We're going to go out and make them a job offer, and we think it's going to cost X dollars plus taxes and benefits. So, you know, just saying we're going to spend more doesn't seem to me like it's justified.
So, Mayor, I do have those numbers here in the budget. We do, if you look at what we're planning, we had allocated $72,500 for an executive director in terms of salary. We had allocated $8,000 in health insurance.
Those are just slightly higher than the previous year. That makes sense.
Right.
I'm talking about the line items that are brand new with nothing in the past year. And it's like, now we need this. Well, do we need it, or is it worth putting a line item because we have it?
So
this all makes sense. Yes, there definitely have to be increases. We should be able to have a budget to offer health insurance and not.
Sure.
Not. We should have the payroll taxes and all the workers' comp and everything else. I'm not talking about year-over-year increases. Obviously, there's no issue. I mean, somebody can nitpick and say that's too high, too low, whatever it is. But when you're creating line items that have never been there before, it seems to me like that there should be some sort of plan for those numbers. I mean, and there's a lot of those. There's a lot of, you know, it's new media buys, $10,000. Well, how many is that? Like, is there a detail that says, is there a plan? You know, because the corporate budget, you go and you say, all right, we're going to look to do, you know, 10 of these, 12 of these, here's where Somerville's done it, here's where Plainfield's done it, it's shown success in the past. It just seems like we're just going to give money and come up with a plan later.
So
that's my concern.
I understand 100%, and please, you know, believe me when I say you're right in that, you know, we do back end the budget, right? We start off with an understanding of what we may be getting, and then we create the budget based on those numbers. The line items, especially those that have not been here in the past, were not just thrown together. These are estimates based on the rates that we got from hyper-local and local media, like our local tap into, like NJ.com. The way that NJ.com and My Central Jersey kind of put together their ad budgets is you tell them how much you have to spend, and they tell you how many impressions you can get for that dollar value. So certainly, the numbers were not just thrown together, right? They were put together based on the research that I've done, right, in putting these budgets together, not just for the BBRP, but for other districts I've worked in. When we talk about those consulting numbers, right, that goes to pay for myself as well as paying for the consultant that would be brought on to do the streetscape capital plan. So that is not just, again, a number that was thrown together, right? That is a number that's coming together based on, you know, what my fees are and what I know their fees are as well. If there are any other specific numbers that you'd like clarification on, please, I'd be more than happy to explain how we came up with those numbers.
Yeah, it makes sense because, you know, I know the summer goal budget, their annual is 3 times.
Yes.
So, you know, if there's immediate alignment there and so on and so forth, then they have salaries and things. It's just that when we sent out all of these questions, a lot of those, we don't have penny budget. Mm-hmm.
But are they there now?
No. Details?
No.
That's why I should answer. I mean, you know, I can do
something. Yeah.
So. Do we have any other line items that you still have questions on? I think that would explain the 31,005 that you suggested was just thrown together, and a couple of the other line items you explained. Are there other line items that I'd like to know that we just say is just
Because
I don't have that.
So that number is based on professional development for staff. You know, we need to, in order to stay, you know, downtown management is something that's constantly changing, right? As we learned with the pandemic, there are so many things that can happen that will impact the district. So that includes professional development for staff through the Main Street New Jersey program, as well as a potential board professional development, right, so that we can onboard new board members and help them understand what their responsibilities are as board members to a nonprofit. And that's based on quotes that we received from the Support Center for Nonprofit.
There was one item here, graphic design, $5,000 and printing for $2,500. Both of these were zero in 2022. We had asked for a detailed budget. And there was graphic design for events and branding.
Yes, so it shouldn't come as a surprise that not everyone is equipped with the skill set to use graphic design software. And so for the graphics that we currently have and are able to repurpose, there's no cost for that. But unfortunately, due to the circumstances surrounding the previous director leaving, there's a lot of information that's missing. And so we're going to have to recreate some of those materials based on the going rate of $150 to $200 an hour for graphic design services and the number of resources that we're going to need to get some of these programs back off the ground. That's where that $5,000 number comes from. And obviously, that's a not-to-exceed number. And then the $2,500 is for printing. So if we need to print posters for events, if we have to print out palm cards to promote upcoming initiatives and upcoming events, if we need to print surveys that we have to give out to the community to assess what we can be doing better, that's where those numbers come from.
You may have just talked about this, but the professional consultants was $41,500, and there wasn't a line item for either of those in 2022.
So can you just identify which section of the budget that's in so I can pull that up here on the screen?
Would you just explain the 10,000 and then the yes. This is going to be for professional developers, the staff, and for the professional developers?
There's professional
developers. And there are professional
and then there was some additional professional services, 10,000.
Yeah, so that's legal services, right? If we need those legal services, additional consulting services, if we need to hire a bookkeeper, which we haven't done in the past, you know, that's where that will come from.
Do you have questions?
Because
I have.
No, go ahead.
So now that we know with the fiscal years from June to May, so an audit, right, I guess is due 4 months after the governing body. Right, is that what happens, right? There's an audit. The district management corporation shall cause an annual audit of its books. The annual audit shall be completed and filed with the governing body within 4 months after the close of the fiscal year of the corporation. So we had asked about the audit for the previous year.
Yes, I'll defer to that.
Okay.
I wasn't going to see it previously, but as far as I can tell, we can't find it, and the previous executive director would not say anything, so we're going to have to reread that this year as part of the cost.
So we're contracting with Supply Clooney to do our audit. They are going to start with us very soon. We have expressed to them that there may be a need to redo the audit from the previous years, from 2021 as well as 2022. So they will be coming on board with us and working on rectifying those two things.
And then there's a portion here, too, about the annual report. The District Management Corporation shall, within 30 days after close of each fiscal year, make an annual report of its activities for the preceding fiscal year to the governing body and the municipality. Does an annual report exist?
Not yet. Again, I was just in the chair last month. So, this is an effort to try to bring this whole organization to these all the gaps that I found. And these are the opportunity and my effort to bring this organization to a professional standard and bring it up to all requirements.
Yeah, we also, it's unfortunate. We didn't have an executive director, we didn't have anybody that was. In the saddle to make that happen. But obviously we are in the process of hiring somebody that will be a full-time operations person. I am bilingual. She will be bilingual, or he will be bilingual. And we're excited to be able to, create these documents and come back before all of you and talk about all of the amazing things that we've done, hopefully, in June or July of next year.
And just one.
Our resolution says that it's the annual vote in January 1st, 2023 to December 31st.
So it's my understanding that it's always been done fiscal, June to May.
Yes.
So if that's something that we have to correct in the bylaws, we can certainly do that.
Okay.
All right, just I guess one more thing here.
I think that was something that we corrected in the last meeting.
Yes.
Any bylaws that were off, including that we were updated in our bylaws during the last meeting to reflect the same meetings on both.
Correct. We did a bylaw update, and we have a couple of revisions that we'll be voting on at the next meeting. And so we'll be happy to provide council with an updated version of those bylaws after they're adopted next meeting.
When was that locked in?
Yeah. Ooh, that is a good question. I can get that for you. It was the third Wednesday in July. I know it because we do it every third Wednesday. I just don't remember the actual date.
And are these meetings open to the public?
So we are doing quarterly public meetings moving forward.
And that was an initiative that Warren in the past, as chair, asked that we have meetings quarterly. This way we can start talking to our business owners,
Now is the opportunity right now is where the state is going to be most out of the cars that are coming online. We have all this new space that we can literally engineer the space in a fashion that is viable for the downtown, which I think now is, while the city has existed for many years, now it's the most crucial because we are on the precipice of change downtown.
Sure, and Abel, I need to just add to that, that in addition to property owners and business owners, we're looking forward to opening those meetings to patrons of the downtown district as well. We want to hear from people who shop and dine and spend their time downtown to learn what we could be doing better. So we're looking forward to those public meetings. We'll be advertising those public meetings so that everybody knows that they're happening. I'll be sure to pass along to council a schedule of what those quarterly meetings look like for this year.
Yeah, just for note, although we never scheduled open meetings in the past, we've all had people that had requested that they attend the meeting, and we had opened up the meeting for people with suggestions and ideas. So although it wasn't regularly scheduled, we were always willing to have a guest, or I've always invited other business people to actually physically join the meeting.
Sure.
So,
just to add, just more importantly, to the businesses that have stuck it out, not just the new business, but the ones that have stuck it out, who got through this, this is a real opportunity with this presents to put like some cash, like make some real money with real initiatives with your input. Not nothing that you're being told to do. I think that's important. It's not to be thinking that it's to get the new businesses to take over the old businesses, but to make that mesh, and more importantly, to say thank you to those businesses that have stuck it out prior to VinDown.
Absolutely, and there's an opportunity. So obviously we talked about business recruitment and retention strategies, right? We talked about facade improvement programs. We've talked about small business workshops and trainings so that we can help small businesses, right, get all of the education that they need to continue to thrive. But I also think it's a really great opportunity for us to recruit additional business owners to our work committees. So part of what we're doing this year is we're trying to diversify the board and not just have all of the input come from the Board of Trustees. We're putting together committees that are open to business owners, property owners, board members, non-board members. And so we invite anyone who has an interest in joining those committees to reach out to us. And we'd love to sit down and chat and make sure that we can get your input as we move forward.
Well, all the more reason to have more of the businesses that have stuck it out on the board. And the reach should be coming from you all, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the administration, from the executives to reach out to the businesses and thank them for sticking it out. That's why you don't have a ghost town downtown, because of the businesses that have stuck it out through the dirt and the grime and everything else,
sure.
Right? That the town hasn't been cleaned up. And I just want to mention that I have the floor. I just want to mention that $206,000 almost, right? $205,686 was the budget last year. That's not chump change, right? So, yeah, I am still really struggling with believing, and I really think that the SID needs a reset. You know?
And that's what we're doing. That's absolutely what we're doing.
A big reset, like stop, pause, and reevaluate. And the Main Street program could be carried out without a SID. I mean, the Main Street program is an entirely different program that was here many, many years ago.
Sure.
Let some other folks talk and maybe.
So just to address that, I think that especially in the state of New Jersey, you'd be hard pressed to find a lot of members of the Main Street program who currently are not SIDs, BIDs, or nonprofits. You're absolutely right. Can you be a part of the Main Street program without being a SID? Sure. But what happens, right, when you disband a SID? We don't have a dedicated source of funding to make these programs, initiatives, services happen. And so I think that you're absolutely right. The organization needed a reset, and that's why I was brought on board to help reset the organization and make sure that we have the proper staff that are in place to execute our vision and properly utilize the budget. And we have goals that, from what I understand, were not set previously. And so we have something to measure ourselves against. What I do is very data-driven, and so I look to execute goals in a way that are measurable, and I look forward to, at the end of this fiscal year, providing a report not just to council, but to all of our business owners, right, that detail everything that we've done in order to improve the district.
And you've been on board for 5 months. Since March.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And we haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Well, first of all, thank you, Natalie, for your presentation.
Of course.
And I'm speaking from, I started here in January. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the background, and I know it wasn't working at all, right, this year. Mm-hmm. And Linda has done a great job doing things that wasn't on her responsibility.
Sure.
It was a mess, to tell you the truth. We have the opportunity now to start on the right foot. We have the opportunity now to help the business owners that went through the hard times and that made downtown survive because they had to endure all the difficult times. And now we have the opportunity to help them, to have workshops for them, to visit them. They can visit, be part of the commissions, to have their input, the real input, with bilingual, people in the city that would really listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an opportunity. I know the previous budget was not, you know, as best as it could be, just to put nice words. But I think now, again, we have the opportunity, and you are presenting us with something that we can hold you guys meaning you and the committee, accountable next year. Next year, we're going to have these, and we're going to have a report, mm-hmm. right, based on this. And we have the opportunity to say, well, this was done, this wasn't, this changed. I like when you said we can reallocate funds. Maybe you're not going to use, $10,000 in professional services, but you can use them for a workshop for the business owners to prepare them into media advertising or something like that, right? So that reallocation of funds I really like because it could really benefit, the business owners. We have a big Spanish community, you know that?
Yes.
Part of that one. and we really need to help them because they help the town. Through all these difficult times, and this is an opportunity to help them as you are presenting here. We need the seat. We need the seat. We need to approve the budget. We need, what are we going to do if we don't approve it? You know, we approve it later in September. Well, there's some, movies in the summer, whatever. We're going to have movies in winter, right? I think we need to start moving. I know, I totally agree. It was a mess. It wasn't clear. It was not done the right way. I totally agree on that, but I also think that we can have a new beginning to make downtown very dynamic, to use all the resources and the opportunities that are coming. And again, next year we're going to hold accountable and see, well, did it work? It didn't work. Where do we have to change? And anyway, there's money that is not used. It's going to be a surplus that we could use for the next year's budget, and it's not going to be at a high, that high if we have some surplus. That's what I would like to see also. Like, you didn't spend $40,000 in flowers. Well, we have $15,000 left. That's going to be $15,000 less for next year's budget. I'm an optimist, and I like to see my Hispanic community and the community of Bambrook flourishing and having a nice downtown. I think we are on the way there with the hard work of people like Linda that really cares and people in the committee. But again, I think this is the time where we have to take a vote of trust and be positive, and knowing that if this is not the right thing, next year you're going to be held accountable. for this. I really want to see the Spanish, the Hispanic business owners participate. She said they're going to have committees. I am glad to hear that. I am glad to hear that you're bilingual, and you're going to have somebody bilingual, so you guys can go and talk to them and say, listen, this is my idea, or this is being done, or this is not done. But nothing of this will happen if we don't approve the budget, I guess, and we don't move on. Is it expensive? We will see. We may have leftovers. We may have to reallocate funds. But I think this is the opportunity that we have to move in the right direction. And I'm so glad to see you all here, because I think that shows that one more time you are the ones that sustain the town. The town is here. You are the business owners that sustain the downtown. And we want to make sure that you have the resources, you have the help, and you have the representation as well. So I just want to say that, and I really hope that we'll take that into consideration when we vote today. We have to move forward. We don't have to move back. We don't have to keep things standing, because the longer we take, the worse it is and the more difficult it is. So that's just my opinion. And thank you for that.
Thank you, Councilman. And Council Mayor.
I wanted to answer, or piggyback on the sort of question you posed, which is, if we don't approve the budget, but it gets approved in September, so we missed out on a movie. No. If you don't approve the budget, the tax rate can't be set. And that impacts all tax rates. So that's your school, your county, your municipal rate. So we're frozen if you don't approve the budget. So it isn't a matter of, okay, we won't get a movie.
Well, I'm talking about...
I know, but I wanted everyone on the council to understand the impact of not approving a budget. So that was my only addition.
Thank you.
I have a few other comments. Listen, I wish my reservation about the profitability process. I don't want to see this thing resolved or fall apart. But I really think, after approving the budget, I really think the appropriate team should be put in place to ensure that all businesses are represented.
Absolutely.
And I think if we were to, as I don't have to talk about the voice of that, because it's a good one to share. I think that it could be too much, as Kendall said, it might be. It's a lot more than it was before. You know, I look at it with the number of winners and say, this doesn't make sense, I don't get variances, I don't get flooding. The last thing I want to see is for this thing to disappear. Because I think there's a lot of opportunity to do a lot of great things with it. I just do think that once the dollars are approved and the rates and everything else, and we can move forward with giving the county, I think after that, the council should take as much of a proactive role as they're allowed to in setting the making sure that.
Yes, 100%. And I think that part of what we're also trying to do is have a more active finance committee. And so we are doing things to kind of overhaul our finance process. And we plan on having quarterly finance committee meetings to go over the spending and really go through our reconciliations to understand where the monies are going. And what areas of the budget we're spending the most in.
Your experience with, and I used just 1.5 million of it, you've dealt something 3 times this office. So, and it's working over there. I just want to make sure, because again, I would need to see this thing go ahead, just because the rate should be
thank you. Are we going to open for public comment?
Okay, it's awesome. All right, so moving to the 2023 special supervisor budget public hearing and comment. This is when we can invite the members of the public to come up and state your name and address, as we've done in the past. And this is going to just be about the special
This is a different resolution, I guess.
Oh, yeah. This is the
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
All right. Is this about the same budget? Okay, come on up and
Roseanne Short, 169 Terry Avenue, Brownbrook. For years, 10, 20 years, we've been hearing about the SID budget downtown in Brownbrook, and it seems to just like, phew, nothing done. But I understand that a lot of times the business owners didn't join it, that there were some that just didn't want to join into the SID district. Now, are they going to be compelled now to join it, or how is that going to work?
I can answer that. I mean, you're absolutely right. Being a former businessman, being in business takes a lot of your time.
Yeah.
Being in business in downtown Brownbrook is extra difficult. You have to work tremendous hours. And although it's very difficult for a lot of business people to be board members because it requires a lot of your time. So I don't think we have the right to force people to become board members.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do. I mean, everybody, and I know early on, and of course a lot of these people aren't there anymore. I went around from the first year of the SID, I went from store to store asking people to join, and I had very little luck. And not because they didn't care, because it's work, and, mm-hmm. and being in business is work. And it was the same with it. I used to be the liaison to the Chamber of Commerce. It was the same thing, except the Chamber of Commerce didn't have a budget, so they couldn't do anything. But we did need, and we did try to do things.
Yes, because then nothing seemed to get done in the town, right, when they did have it. And they were every year they said, oh, should we have it? Should we have it? And then, really, Brownbrook has not improved at all. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever watched Hometown, the TV show? They go into they went to Fort Worth, Colorado, and how they took that little town and revitalized it. I think everybody should see a show like that. I think there's a lot of little towns. How they started with the Main Street, coloring it up and making it beautiful. How they went to each store and had the facade all done over. I don't know where they got their monies from, that's the only thing. And how they went even into the individual stores and showed them how to fix up their store on the inside to make it so people would want to come into the stores. So I think something like that, I think, is nice. And they went to a number of lower towns.
Mm-hmm.
And they also went into the, what made the town, why would people want to come to this town? Ours is historical, really, because I can remember 20 years ago, people coming in from New York on the train just to come in to see the Battle of Bound Brook and all the history of Bound Brook. And we had loads of people coming in. So I think something like that, it is historical. We have the Battle of Bound Brook. We have the Betsy Ross flag there. We have a number of things here. The tree where the Indians signed the Revolution. And then the bridge, if it ever gets cleaned up, this is a problem. Brownbrook starts stuff, but they never complete it. They never finish it.
Well,
this is what we need. This is what our town needs.
And I think it's your point, Mayor. You don't want to see it wasted because start something and never finish it.
The money is taken, but they don't use it, or it's just wasted.
There's been limited resources in the past.
Yes. But I mean,
my hope is this year, and again, keep in mind this is for a very defined area.
Yeah.
Down, you could be discussed, I know the national state
about
it. Yeah. It was a very defined area. So if you're worried about the fields or something, that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
In general.
No, but
we've afraid somebody who who's done it.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mayor, we have two things that we've never had before. We have the buildings finally paying their share, and we have Natalie. And with those two things, I'm pretty confident that we can really, really do something great.
Yes, because I can't see having something and then just wasting it. You know, that's just what I don't want to see, because that's what's been happening.
Well, I wouldn't say it's been wasting.
No, but nothing, not. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else from the public like to comment specifically on the city budget?
I'm J.P. Levin. I'm a former councilman here from Bound Brook. Currently, I do not live in Bound Brook. I live at 491 Millwood Drive in Bridgewater. You're not going to vote after this discussion. You're going to vote later. There's going to be another portion of public comments to ask questions before you vote on this, correct?
Well, yes, we're going to do the resolution 2023-2203. We're going to vote on that.
No, I understand that, but there is going to be another public comment discussion.
Well, there's right after this, we're going to have the invitation for discussion from the public, but that's not anything about
this. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, anything else specifically relating to the city budget? Otherwise, we're going to move on to, we're going to open it to discussion from members of the public.
Carol Hall of West 2nd Street. 2 weeks ago, Roseanne and I came here for a meeting. Okay, we get here, no one's here, we don't know if it changed the time. We don't go on the computer like everybody else does, okay? Two people were going in and out of the building, they didn't know if there was a meeting. I asked the police, they didn't know if there was a meeting. I kind of think that maybe if you're not going to have a meeting, could they at least put a sign on the door? So we know there's no meeting. I went home, I called up Linda, and she explained you didn't have enough people here.
I was just told there were two signs posted.
There were two signs posted, one on this store right here, and then one on the other street. I did do that.
Where is it?
The main door, and then the door going out the end.
There wasn't any a sign.
I put a sign. I have to know that there was no sign.
Rosia, did you see a sign? There was no sign.
There was a sign on the second floor. The third floor, obviously, had that second
floor. Well, we didn't see it. Now I got my new garbage can. Okay? I could understand for two families and everything, you need big garbage cans. I put out three little bags of garbage. To get to the backyard, I got an incline on my driveway. I couldn't even get that garbage can up to my driveway. The lady across the street had to come and help me. So there's no way I could keep that garbage can out front all the time, right?
Well, but I'll have my son do it.
What?
I'll have my son do it when he takes out mine. I didn't do it for you.
All right, so I got it there, but... Now, today, did we have to use the new garbage can? When are we starting to use it?
Starting this week, my understanding. Starting this week, everybody
okay,
needs
so
to use
it. Okay, so I have to use that. Okay. About downtown, my first job when I got out of high school was working for the Bound Brook Trust Company. And at that time, Bound Brook was really nice. I'll have to say that people used to come out and sweep the sidewalks and stuff. On Monday, maybe during the week, they picked up the garbage. It seemed they had pride in their stores. I don't know what goes on now. I don't see that. Plus, why do we still have windows downtown that have Christmas
decorations and stuff in there painted on the windows. Why doesn't Sid go, is that what that should go after them to clean up the windows? To me, it looks like one big mess down there.
I think those windows are
what?
I think the windows that you're referring to are not occupied. They were done to spruce it up. But, yeah, I mean.
It's a mess down there. I find nothing. There's nothing down there that would attract me to go there. Okay, the sub shop, years ago I went down there and they had various challenges. There's nothing that's going to bring me down there. They said the businesses were going to put some stores down there. Like I said, nothing to attract me to go down there. Maybe later on they'll put something down there, but right now.
Well, but they're working on it. And
what?
They're working on it, and it all depends. I mean, it's different than when you used to go down there all the time. But I find, personally, I have a lot of businesses I like to go to down there. They like to be better now, but they think I have something to say. They don't switch to it. Like I said, that whole presentation is part of what they're going to do. They're going to be bringing in new businesses, and they're going to make it more appealing. They're going to try to show that. We now have a dedicated budget to say, hey, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
You know, there's people here. There's a lot of people here.
And then we did lose the farmer's market. We used to go down to the farmer's market, but we lost that, right?
We'll see. Like I said, now that's it, that was another thing that was a problem that Sid brought in. So I think you're going to see a lot more opportunities in the next in the upcoming year.
Okay.
And I look forward to you coming back and complimenting us on how well it was.
I also want to thank Linda. When a couple of months ago, I go over to the wellness center, so I got to go under the bridge near the ballpark.
Okay.
On both sides of that bridge, it was filthy. All garbage, especially on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. I don't know how nobody saw this. So I called Linda, and she didn't take care of it. So thank you.
It was Somerset County's property. There's a mangled fence there, right? There's someone hit a fence, and the fence is mangled by the overpass. But the garbage was cleaned up. Yes.
But that part is not boundaries.
No, it's Somerset County.
County and DOT. But our people called and helped them out.
Okay, so I did call Linda, and she
needs to
take care of it. That looks a lot better now.
Yeah, but the mangled fence still needs to be addressed. And these are the death by a thousand cuts, right? They all pile up, and you're out for the count, right?
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Yeah, this is the public portion time, so I hope the businesses come up.
Yeah. Rose Ann Short, 169 Terry Avenue. Drop the garbage cans. So many people called me up. Roseanne, are you going to that council meeting? Those garbage cans, I can't lift them. A lot of the seniors, they said they're going to put their garbage in one bag on the corner and they don't care if they don't pick it up or not. That's out. I can't understand it. I have 6 garbage cans in my yard. I don't want to get a ticket because my garbage can is sticking out and you could see it. Because people are putting... I had 2 garbage cans from our previous collector, but they had the lid set open. I have 2 cans that I put trash in, that leaves and things and twigs, like we've got the wind for picking up twigs every day. I filled 2 up. I gave to the garbage man last week. And now I have this big can. I could just about push it. Good thing my grandson lives with me can bring it out. Some neighbor people have neighbors that won't do anything for them. They don't know what they're doing. They walk with a cane. They can't pull the can. Like Carol said, it's big. It's too big. Now, we have a truck that's supposed to pick those cans up?
Yes.
How come the garbage men are hooking up the, on High Street, I saw them, hooking up their can to that truck, or whatever it was.
It's not the same as the recycling.
No. Well, that's what everybody's saying. What the heck did they get garbage cans? I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
I have garbage cans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have space in the road on a lot of smaller side streets to have the side arms go out the way that the recycling does. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they have a streamline. They've got the larger cans and the Public Works employees can roll it to the truck, which will end up for them to pack that.
Oh, so that's what the people are saying. Yeah, they said, what a waste, they said.
So you're
going to
see people there working on the collections. As far as the cans themselves, I mean, if you're I haven't tested it yet, but my thing is if you can tilt it, like tilt the recycle bin. The North End has a recycle bin that are the same. The only reason they haven't been done in South 28 is because those recycle trucks can't fit on the side streets.
And what do we do with the garbage cans we want to get rid of? I came here to pay my taxes, and they said, we don't know, you might have to pay $3. I said, $3 to get rid of the garbage can because the town gave me this big one?
Well, I asked somebody to put it in the big can, and then when they got it, what do you do?
Okay.
That big giant bin, they'll fit all the garbage cans.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hope we don't get tickets, people don't get tickets, because I see now the garbage cans in front of the people's houses. All cars, you know. And that's not good for the town either, you know, something like that.
But I think we're going to test through the alarm process.
Mm-hmm. I want to know who... I don't think it's the planning board on Vassar Avenue when they're putting that apartment building up. I know they had an accident there Monday. I just missed it, in fact. I understand that the planning board, I guess, changed the variance so they could be closer to the sidewalk.
As I recall, I think that's a planning board question, but as I recall them,
I heard it from three people that they...
They actually didn't request that.
Yeah,
they requested it and were denied it. It just so happens that, you know, and people have asked me that about that same thing. And I said, what my mayor said is that there were actually no variances.
Yeah, there wasn't. They wanted...
Well, somebody said that the planning board passed the variance that gave them more room on the site.
I think that was denied.
They wanted to push the building back further away from the curb.
That's what they should have.
Well, they wanted to, but because of the building we had, they were afraid that they were going to be rejected, so they just followed the rules.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, now even to get out on Vassar Avenue, I try to avoid it, but you have to get out your car and look to see if, and it's difficult, especially when people are parked from that swimming place coming up Vassar.
Yes.
That's really difficult then. Really. Now we have the sweeper, street sweeper.
We still have
street sweeper. What is he sweeping? Cars are all parked on the street. He's not even just cleaning up Lamont Field, Grace Mercedes Avenue. That's the only street that's getting cleaned. I mean, it's like a waste.
So, you let people know what's the table, but it's still parked. I don't know the roads. We are putting in a new symbol that it coincides with garbage. We don't have garbage can out of the street and recycling there. But it's still going to be a challenge with the cars, because even with this
it's terrible.
It's a challenge to keep the cars off or on.
Yeah, because I see them going in and out, and it's like a waste, really.
We're going to have permanent metal signs, right, with a schedule like we did years ago.
But people still don't do it.
The police are going to have to support DPW, right? So the cars aren't moved, they're going to have to get ticketed.
But where are these cars going to move?
Well,
if you go down Vassar Avenue, not even on a weekend, during the week, it's bumper to bumper on the right and left hand side.
My neighbors come to my yard.
They don't have to be here.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll do that with a lot of cars here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, because it's, you know, nothing, it's yeah. really getting clean. And I said good luck to the city. I wish her good luck or let you approve of it. Thank you.
JP 11491 Millwood Drive, Bridgewater. I want to thank Ms. Pinedo. I think it was a very nice presentation, very articulate of what you want to do and so forth. And also I thank the mayor and council for allowing this presentation. Now regarding the, you guys are going to have to figure that the budget out and so forth like that and hold everybody accountable. And I have a lot of confidence that you will. Regarding the SID and its structure on board members, I've been listening to a little bit of back and forth about, it almost seems like everybody's in agreement that you need as much representation of the downtown as possible on the SID. And I think you agreed on it, the mayor agreed on it, and then from the observing of them, I was watching the council nodding their heads. And it, to me, my perception was that it was in agreement. Currently, right now, you're going to be voting on, I guess, the most of the entirety of the board, if I'm not mistaken. And one business in particular, there's two representations coming from that one business. One downtown business. So that's obviously two votes, right, for that business. You know, so this is my time. Please. And I'll actually, before I go into further, I actually want to commend Town Brook for a back and forth conversation between the public, because I've been attending a lot of meetings all around, and Town Brook is the only one that has a back and forth and allows the public to speak and hear what you guys have to say. So thank you very much on that. But once again, there's two votes coming from one establishment, one business owner. That really doesn't allow as much representation coming from the town, because it's only that's, you know, I don't know what's the board. It's a 9-member board, 7-member board.
Seven to nine.
Is it?
There's nine. 7 to 9 members, but there's 9 members.
So, and then also with that, I encourage the downtown community to come together on their own and make a group on their own, whether it be a business, some sort of community, business establishment downtown, and that way you guys become one voice to the SID board and to the downtown, to the community here. The other thing is the board has the council liaison as a council member to the board, a voting member to the board, and you're also having another board member on there that is a current council person. So right there, if you're looking at the council as one entity, that's two votes coming from that one entity.
Over a cup of coffee or something.
All right, but what I'm saying is as much representation coming from the community, coming from the downtown, is a viable, sustainable option that is needed for the city to approve. Back in 2014, if I remember correctly, I was sitting up there. I voted on this. I was right on Mr. Lopez's seat. I love that counter, that corner seat.
Yeah.
Sat there all 3 years.
me too.
But I had a lot of objection to the city. You know, and I'm glad that now, it took 10 years, almost 9 years, I guess, for this to come. Shame on the previous council people, the previous SIDs, not to come forward and do something like this. So I commend whoever did this. Perfect. You know, 9 years too late, but at least it's happening. You know, But you guys have to hold these people accountable. So with that said, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Just on the executive board, and JP, you might want to hear all this stuff, since you might want to correct all this stuff. Executive board votes on items. My wife asked to have input into it, so she is part of the larger board, but not the executive board, so she doesn't get a vote, number one. Not as do I, technically. I am the chair, so I chair the meeting if and only if there is a tie, I break the tie. Number two, Don doesn't actually vote, so thank you for the comments. And, number two, Don doesn't vote, so again, the council doesn't have the majority of votes here, not just anyone business. I actually invite everybody in downtown to join the board, to join the committees. It makes my life a thousand times easier if I don't have to work. If I don't have to request that Kurt be the chair and the vice chair, be out there on event days, be out there, you know, all the time. It burns people up. So the more people that are here, I know I see people in this very room that are asked to be part of the SID. That refused to be on the city. So, I just want to be clear, I invite every single person to be on the city to come here. Not everybody has a vote, but you do have a voice. And I am, you have a good idea, I'm on it. If I have a bad idea, if you have a better idea, I'll change on a dime, I will go with your idea immediately. This board will, that's what this whole budget is about. It's about changing a course correction and trying to get this thing on and get our downtown to work right.
I also want to say, because, you know, I've been an elected official for a long time and I've been a member of the SID. I recently quit, but I've been a member of the SID for a long time. Am I crazy about having the elected officials also be on a SID board? No. But right now it's just necessary because we don't have enough people willing to put that kind of time in. I hope someday that more people join, and it doesn't have to be that way. But I think what Abel's trying to do right now is just get the thing, what I've been trying to do for all these years is just get the thing off its feet and get it rolling. And, you know, with a bigger budget than Natalie, I think we got it. And I'm sure Abel someday would love to turn over the chair position to a businessman that's, or a woman that's qualified to do it.
By the way, I know there's always talk of adding more and more to the board. The truth of the matter is by ordinance and by bylaws, compensation is met. There's three property owners, there's three business owners, there is resident, and whatever and institute there. That council member, Mr. Tim, and the last one in, or I think it might be the nine. Yeah, it's but the composition is correct. But the composition it needs to be exactly what the ordinance and the bylaws require. The rest can be added as committee members. You never had a committee member yet that's wanted to fill out for it. But this or that. And we've asked. We've asked in the past. We've asked door to door, asked members to join. And
this isn't a criticism on the business people, because like I say again, it's hard to run a business in Bound Brook. It takes 24/7, you know, so it is what it is. But hopefully someday it'll get easier and we can change things.
Okay, here's a member of the public that can come up and make any comments. Yeah. All right, the microphone, please.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Ivania Romero. Well, this night has been great. I'm happy that it looks like now they put an attention to us. I have to write one more time all the questions concerning about our situation in downtown. We, as you guys know, we hit since October last year. Our situation is still the same. I don't know when Abel went to my store because I don't remember him to ask me to join the board. I don't remember. Maybe it was close. So, thank you, Natalie, because we really need to improve our situation and our communication. 95% of Bambro downtown business owners are Hispanic. Yes. Working people, honest people, responsible people, and we pay taxes too. We follow the rules, and hopefully the rules will be the same for everybody. Hopefully. And we definitely want to be part of the board, because we've been supporting downtown through the pandemic, hurricanes, floods, and I don't remember nobody coming to our stores and asking if we need a bottle of water. Nobody. Actually, I was gonna ask the same thing. This is what we do. I'm sorry. Because we don't know. The consult for downtown has never been to our business. It's like nobody knows our business. Nobody. Don't take it personal, please. When we call BBRP, nobody answers. Office is always closed. And what exactly is the purpose? Because we don't see different in downtown. Some of the things, there are no promotions. There is no promotion for our business. If there is a Facebook page, who is in charge? Who is the administrator? Because I don't see our business on that page. Some of them are, some of them, no. There is no, like we said, we came here last year, last October. We don't see nothing different. This town is so small. It's only 4 blocks. It's like a sweeping, taking care of your backyard home. How come we don't see any solution? How come? It's so small. It's too small. There is no events. There is no events to promote our business. There's no events. We give enough to Bambrook. And I have my business for over a decade, for 13 years. I'm not new. Some of them are 20, 25 years older than me. There is no maintenance happening in downtown. Finally, yesterday I saw a guy cleaning downtown after 3 weeks. Why we saw for the last 2 months? I'm sorry. Dog waste, food waste everywhere. It's like nobody cared about our house. Dumpsters full of garbage. We want to be part of this. How many downtown business owners do you ask to be on the board? ¿Alguien pregunta? Somebody else? No. Nobody. And we're still the same. There is no loading zone. If we don't have loading zone, we are going to have a problem all the time. Why? Because we're not safe. And it's against the law, don't have loading zone. How about for, como se dice, handicapped people? There is no room for them to. No. So we have to do something. We have to do something. And our business are not being represented by the city. And one more thing. Sunday night, you know, if you guys know my store, I always try to make it look nice and clean and put some flowers and make it nice. Sunday night, somebody came to my store and destroyed my flowers from the wind that I had. Okay. I don't like the action because I put all my effort to make my place look beautiful. I called the police and they say it wasn't enough to do something. And I say, what do you mean wasn't enough? Because they say, oh, it has to be $500 value damage. So I tell them, today is only flowers. I can put any flowers. But this guy is on the drugs all the time. He's walking around the neighborhood. He was doing it from last Thursday, going back and forth in front of my business. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I asked to Polo. I said, Polo, can you please tell them? Polo, you know, that police guy. I said, Polo, can you please tell him to be away from my business? Yesterday, we had to call the police again. They came to the store, and I asked them again, is there any way can you guys keep this guy away from the streets? And they say they were going to tell him to be out of my area. He came this morning. If something happened to me or to my store, everybody's aware now. But my concern is people like him, they should be in rehab place, and the school is coming. It's dangerous for the kids to be around these people. Drugs, alcoholic, like I said, it wasn't only flowers. But hopefully, nothing else is going to happen, but there is enough police people here. And some of my friends are going to say something. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Luz Abreu. I'm the owner of Agility Express. We are located at 4 Huntington Street. The previous owner was Christina, who used to be CN Enterprise. I bought the business for her last year in October. And I'm here because we have been very affected for the construction that it has been done. We are being affected because there's no parking for customers. So the customers can go to our business. If they park the car 1 minute, they get a ticket. So I don't know what can we do about that, because we have been very, very affected for that. Christina is there every day because I have another business in Linden, and she's the one who is every day at this office in Bamboo. So I don't know if Christina wants to say anything.
Yo, pues mi idea es muy poco, bueno, pero sí quiero aprovecharla.
Como dice, I can't translate what you're saying.
Because we need an official translation.
Okay. She wrote something here. She said that she wants to know what's doing the town to solve the problem of the parking, because it's affecting our customers and our business. Another thing is that they close the street for a long time during the day. So, for example, they close it at 8 a.m. and they open at 3:30 or 4. So all day, there's no customers coming in to our business. Another thing is that what Mrs. Ivan said, that what we want is that the rules are for every business, not just for some of them. I am new to Bamberg because I'm from Linden, but now that I have the business here in Bamberg, I love this place. I think Bamberg is beautiful, And I think the town can give a lot for people. So that's why we're here, because we believe that we can improve. And we believe in Bamboo.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we want to support the things that you're doing for the town, and we are part of it. Thank you so much.
Para todos.
And that everyone is here. Dije, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to start with the introduction of ordinances, the introduction of ordinance for the first reading. Starting with ordinance 2023-037, ordinance amending supplement chapter 17, property maintenance section 17-20.5, disposal of garbage of the revised general ordinances of the borough of Bamboo, to amend disposal of garbage exceptions. Again, this is going to be the first reading. We have a motion to the ordinance to pass on first reading.
Motion. John.
Roll call.
Councilman Jones.
Yes.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes.
Councilman Mondo.
Yes.
Councilman Schmidt.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Very good. Ordinance 2023-38. Ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 4, General Licensing Section 4-1.1, quote unquote purpose of the revised ordinances of the borough are amending the definition and restrictions of a special event. Do we have a motion that will be passed? Motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Lawrence.
Yes.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes.
Councilman Mondo.
Yes.
Councilman Gershon.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to introduction and discussion of resolutions. 2023-203, a resolution adopting the 2023 Special Improvement District Budget in the amount of $297,542.72. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. Discussion?
No.
No? Good.
Actually, no, because, so for the record, I've been struggling right all night with this. You know, it's been 9 years, right? I know we're not looking back and we're looking forward, but there needs to be some serious accountability. This SID has not been operating properly, and it needs to start operating properly. And people will be held accountable. And I think the board should be revamped. The current proposed board that we're going to hear later is not representative of the businesses, and it's just going to be another sham for another year. So I highly suggest that either gets tabled or reworked or something, and we'll get to that point later on with that resolution. But there's no reason why the town looks the way it does, and plopping apartment buildings on every corner is not revitalization, right? I mean, it's like you take a shower and you don't wash your whole body, and then you wonder why you stink and no one wants to come here, right? I mean, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but seriously, right? You have to clean your foundation, right? Clean the bones that we have. Bamboo is a very interesting town, a unique town with its history and Revolutionary War history and eclectic businesses and cultures, and we're a melting pot, right, of many diverse and unique people. So you're going to be held accountable. And the board needs to be totally revamped. And I think the council needs to really step out of it. It's an entity, the SID, it's for property owners and for businesses, right? It's not for the government to get involved and have their own little group, so to speak. So, I'm going to be really stern about this, and I don't know. It just can't go on another year. It can't go on another 5 months, right? I mean, you've been here for 5 months, so let's see something happen and something positive. And you're talking about 1.6 square miles. You know, I don't know. I don't know what else to really say other than, you know, it just hasn't been run properly, and I don't, you know, I am not going to be part of an operation that is not run properly and legitimately. So that's my thoughts.
All right. Roll call.
I'm sorry.
And I would have put them on probation if I could, but I legally was told I can't.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Councilor Lago?
Yes.
Councilor Schmidt?
Yes.
Councilor
Lopez?
Yes. Yes. Resolution listed below, resolution to the governing body for review, and will be adopted by one motion unless separate discussion is desired, and then the resolution may be reviewed by council action. Would any of the councilmen like to see any other resolution? Removed by council action. Yes.
Yeah,
216. Any other?
Anything to do with recreation, like 218 has to be different, has to be taken out for me. I think that's it. Oh, 213 also. Okay, 213, 218. I think that's it.
No. All right, let's discuss those first. Based on the reasoning for 2023-213 and 2023-218, can we use those together? All right, can we use those two together?
Sure.
They're only being taken out to the.
If everyone agrees, do we know?
Does everyone agree to those two together?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure. Okay. 2023-213, resolution authorizing the hire of summer camp police for the recreation department in 2023-218, resolution authorizing the hire of our railroad department to state supervisor for the recreation department. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Council President Bonas?
Yes.
Councilor
Van Sally? Recuse.
Councilor
Yes.
Councilor Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Pass. On to 2023-216, resolution appointing members to the Special Reserve District Board of Trustees. So, motion.
Motion.
So, second.
Second.
I just have one correction here. There is Eric Horowitz that's on there. He should be on there. He actually John Flanagan.
Who?
John Flanagan, the owner of the Hopkins.
So, vote as amended.
Discussion.
No, I think the board, I made my comments, right, that the board should be redone. Councilman Gomez shouldn't be a councilman on the board. We have two developers on the board. So now you have John Flanagan and you have Lou Reynolds. Lou Reynolds doesn't even attend meetings. He hasn't attended meetings, and he attends maybe two meetings in the last year. The liaison, Don Longo, is fine, but there's just, this does not represent the downtown. It does not represent the businesses. You know, you have developers on here. There's a skew, right? It's not balanced. So I would say that this should be tabled and or redone.
We have a motion to table. All the developers, as she likes to say, are also property owners and now taxpayers.
They were some of the largest, some of the, and that's why we're changing at least one of them, and the other one at least responds to emails, says when he can't be there, and maybe gets excused, tries to be there, tries to participate, so it's long.
There needs to be a new board.
To replace them with people that would show up.
Yeah.
And well, I asked her, I mean, maybe you forgot, but I invited you to a meeting, and I believe you attended. So I'd asked you, and maybe there was a misunderstanding, to join the board. You were there at a meeting. So, you know, I've been, you know, I've always reached out to everybody. And again, I get it. Not everybody can attend meetings. But I think, again, I'm not on the board anymore. I can't make these decisions. But I'm sure that if members don't show up, the Natalie or whoever we hire will aggressively try to replace them with people that can show up.
This is not going to change anything from what's been done in the past. And
you know, it,
I haven't been on the board since 2018.
Good.
How are you listening to the board
member? I don't know. I haven't been
there. It's been there since I've been involved. You've been listening to that, and you've recused yourself from it?
No, I haven't.
No, he's been 8 months or so. Yeah.
Really? Made my point.
Yeah, we can vote.
I mean, it does not appear to be recommended by the business or committee, but I guess if there's no further discussion, let's do a roll call.
What?
The appointing members.
Any members?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
The appointing members.
Okay.
Yeah, we would kind of get the. Like, if we were to vote it down, did they go back and they have to resubmit a new list by our no vote, or
if you vote it down, then this was denied. If they came back to you with the same list, it would be reconsideration of what was just done, and somebody who voted no would have to vote to put it back on the agenda. If the current list comes back, a no vote has to move it forward. If a new list comes back, it's a different.
I guess my question would be, how does this, if it gets voted down, how does this SID function between now and the new list? Like,
well, they can't.
They can't.
They don't have a board member, though.
So they have no board members. Exactly.
No, there's nobody. You have approved the board. There's nobody to authorize them to act.
Aren't there board members with unexpired terms right now?
No, they're all expired. You don't have a board. You didn't have a functioning board this whole year.
All of them are expired.
So they would be operating without a board until you
approve. And we don't even know when some of them never even came before the council for approval.
So I'm going to vote yes. I'd like to see with the more business owners get involved, and then as openings occur, they can move up.
I want to see.
No.
Is the mayor?
I don't know.
What did we discuss tonight, right? We discussed the consultant getting
the consultant. All right, now, there's a vote on the resolutions 2023-204, 205.678.9-212, and then including 2023-214, 215. 2023-217, followed by 2023-219 through 2029. We have a motion to approve all of those.
Motion.
The second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. All right, time to pass. Do we have any unfinished business? All right, moving on, 2023-215, 2:30.
New business.
No, do we have any new business? Okay. 2023-230, resolution referring vouchers in the amount of $1,656,024.46. I believe we're going to be doing two vouchers because we did not have a lot of previous meetings. On that resolution, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Donis?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilwoman Berger?
Yes.
Councilwoman
Lopez? Yes.
Very good. 2023-231, resolution approving the amount of $659,378.40 for the motion.
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman
Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berger?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
One last call to open to the public for comment. Would anybody else like to follow up and make any additional comments? Very good. Hearing none. 2023-232. We have a resolution authorizing executive session regarding litigation. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
No action will be taken.
Oh, yeah, no action will be taken. So.
Councilman
Kelly? Yes.
Councilman
Mondo?
Yes.
Councilman
Mercer?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. At this time, we are going to ask all members of the public to take
it in. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
How long did you stay in?
I have to just update you on our litigation matter. I think it's given me 30 seconds. I
don't need the rest of that.
30 seconds. I don't know what questions you all are going
to have. I don't know.
Okay.